today's shir is Masechta Menachos Daf Samach Aleph. We will begin on Daf Samach Amud Beis, the first wide line, Oyena Oymer. We had learned, we were middle in the previous shir of learning an extensive braisa that teaches us the halachas of Hagosha, by which kabbonis do we do Hagosha. And the braisa from the word of a Havesa have brought a machloikus of Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda, what we learn from that word. Rav Shimon had learned from the word Havesa that the Meches HaOmer requires Hagosha. Rav Yehuda said the Meches HaOmer we could understand through logic requires Hagosha, and he had used that word to teach us that the Meches Saita requires Hagosha. Questions the Braisa, is that what we learn from the word Vahavesa? Or Eina Oimer Vahavesa? Perhaps what we learn from the word Havesa, El She Yochid Misnadiv Umevi Mincha Acheris, that the Yochid, an individual, should have the right to bring a different Karban Mincha, Chutz Me'elish Reminion, aside from the five types of Karban Minchas that are mentioned in the Pasuk. Perhaps the Torah is teaching us that those five Karban Minchas are all made out of wheat, but maybe the halach ought to be that a yochid should be allowed to bring a Karban Mincha from barley. For we can make the following argument: the dinhu tzibur may be mincha minachitin chayva. There's a halach that the tzibur brings a Karban Mincha that they're obligated to bring from chitin, the shtei halachim. Or maybe mincha min asayrim chayva. They also have an obligation to bring a carbon mincha when they bring a carbon sayrim. Mincha sayrimer is from barley. So we should say that the same thing should apply by the yochid. Af yochid should maybe mincha chitin the dover. Just like the yochid brings on the dover of chitin, yovi mincha min asayrim the dover, he should also bring barley as a, he should be able to bring a carbon michas nadavah from barley. Tamalayma, that's why the Torah says Eila. Only Eila, Eila. To teach us only these kabbonis could be brought, the ones that are identified in the Torah, no other carbon. So, we learn it. That we don't. So in other words, we don't use Vahavesa to teach us that you could bring a carbon nedava from barley. And therefore, says the Gemara, it's still available to teach us either what Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon taught us. Continue the Braisa. Oyena Ela Ela. Maybe the word teaches us, the word Ela teaches us. Ela Oma Karelai Mincha. Where somebody obligates himself to bring a carbon mincha. Shemevi Chamishta. Maybe the halacha will be that he has to bring all of them, all five types of nedava. Tamaloymer, we learn from the word me'ela, the mem, ratza achas maybe, if he wanted to bring one of the five types, ratza chamishta maybe he could bring all five types. Continues the braisa. Rav Shimon Oymer, esa mincha, l'rab ishar menachas, to teach us other karban mincha, kigoy minchas nachrim, or Minchas Nashim, that there's an obligation to do Hagosh with them. Continues the Braisa. Yochel Shnei Marba Shtei Lechem V'Lechem Aponim. Maybe we should say that Shtei Lechem V'Lechem Aponim also require Hagosha. Tamaloymer Me'ela. Only some Karban Minchas require Hagosha, not others. Ask the Gemara. Ask the Braisa itself. Why are we saying that the other menachas, the mechas nachrim, the mechas noshim, require hagosha? Why are these the ones that are included and these are the ones that are excluded? Says the braisa. Marba nishar menachas. We're marba these other menachas. Sheish mehem leishim. That part of those kabbonis are put on the fire. Or might say nishtele that are burnt. The kaimitz is burnt on the mizbeach. We exclude the shtei lechem and the lechem upon him. Shem and Rishim, no part of those Kabbanis are put for burning on the Mizbeach. Ask the Gemara, V'lai Mechus Nesachim, Kul Ishim. The halakha is that the Mechus Nesachim is completely burnt, and Yochol Tuna Hagosha, maybe, and we would think that it require Hagosha, Tamalayim V'kriva, to teach us that the Mechus Nesachim doesn't require Hagosha, even though it's completely burnt. So how do we know so? The Pasuk says V'kriva, to teach us that it is excluded, that the Mechus Nesachim is excluded from the din of Hagosha. Ask the Gemara, but we, as we said at the beginning of today's shir, but Fikdei, haven't we used the word V'kriva to teach us, according to Rav Shimon, that the Minchas Soita requires Hagosha? Answers the Gemara, V'hikri V'kriva. Indeed, the V'hikri teaches us that the Minchas Soita requires Hagosha. By Torah writing V'kriva, teaches us that the Minchas Soita requires Hagosha, the Minchas Nesachim do not require Hagosha. Ask the Braisa further, Omar Yisrael, Rabbi Shar Menachas, why are we including other Menachas for the din of Hagosha, V'lohaitzi Minchas Nesachim, and why are we excluding Minchas Nesachim? Answers the Braisa, Marba Nishar Menachas, we're Marba the other Menachas, Shabal B'Klal Atzman, that they have an independent obligation to bring those Karban Mincha, and we exclude the Mechus Nesachim, Shana Baba Glal Atzma, it doesn't have its own obligation to bring, the Mechus Nesachim is brought only along with another Karban. And explains the Briska Rav, even though we've learned that the Halacha is the maybe other Mechus Nesachim, a person could bring a Mechus Nesachim not only as part of bringing another Karban. Still, says the Briska Rav, that the Gemara is teaching us, since the Mechus Nesachim has this characteristic, that many times, or at least certain times, it's brought only as an accompaniment to another Karban, therefore the Halacha is that in all situations when a Mechus Nesachim is brought, even when it's brought on its own, it's excluded from the din of Hagosha. Ask the Gemara, continues the Braisa, for the Mechus Kahana and Mechus Koy Mashiach, the Mechus Kahana and the Mechus Koy Mashiach, Bas B'Glal Atzmon, they come independent, Yochel and therefore, Yochel Teritunas Hagosha, therefore we can make an argument that we require Hagosha, Tamaloymer V'Higisha, the Torah teaches us V'Higisha, to exclude the Mechus Kahanim and the Mechus Koy Mashiach from Hagosha. Ask the Gemara, but don't we need the word Vegisha to teach us the basic halacha shetuna hagosha, that karbonis require hagosha, the karbonis requires hagosha? How could we use this pasuk to teach us that meches kohanim are excluded? Answers the Gemara, mevehegish Vegisha. We could have learned that basic requirement, the Torah could have taught it to us by just using the word vehegish. The Torah, by using the word Vehigisha, teaches us that they're excluded, that Mechus Kahanim are excluded. Interesting to note, however, as we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, the Rabbanon disagree with Rav Shimon, and they indeed hold that the Mechus Kahanim are obligated in Hagosha, because they learn it from Atzad HaShava, or from the word Es HaMincha, to teach us that they're mechuyiv in Hagosha. The Rabbanan will obviously say the Rishonim not learn the limud of a higish v'higisha. Ask the Gemara, according to Rav Shimon, Umar Yisrael Rabbi Shar Menachas, why do we say that other Menachas are obligated in Hagosha? V'lohoitzi Minchas Kahanim or Minchas Koyam Mashiach, why is specifically these Karban Minchas excluded? Answers the Braisa, Marbani Shar Menachas, we include the other Menachas, Shiesh Mem Le'ishim, that part of them are burnt, or Bas B'Galal Atzim, and they come for themselves, V'yesh Mehem Le'Kahanim, and there's a portion of those Minchas that go to the Kahanim, or Maitzi Ani, Shtei Alechem V'Lechem Aponim, we exclude the Shtei Alechem and Lechem Aponim, She'en lehem lishim, as we said earlier, there's no part of them that are burnt. Therefore, there's no din of hagosha by those carbon. Miches nesachim are excluded, as we discussed earlier. She'en baba glal atzmam, because miches nesachim come only as an accompaniment to other karbanos. Or miches kohanim, miches mashiach are excluded. She'en lekohanim, the kohen doesn't get any portion. Concludes the brisa. The pasuk says v'heirim. The pasuk says in Parashas V'yikra v'heirim that we should take off the kohenets. Yochab a keli. We would think that so is done with a keli, not necessarily with a hand. Tamaloma. The Torah in Parashas Tzav, when it discusses the kmitza, says v'heirim imenu b'kumtzoy. The Torah uses the word b'kumtzoy. Ma haroma ha'oma lahalam b'kumtzoy. There it says b'kumtzoy specifically with the kohen's hand. Ask haroma ha'oma kam b'kumtzoy. Here too it means with the kohen's hands. So the Mefarshim explain what the Gemara is saying, that always kmitza is done with the hand. But the Gemara's havamina was that by certain karbanos kmitza should be done with the hand, and by certain karbanos perhaps it's done with a keli, not specifically with the kohen's hands. What would be the difference? Which karban would we say this way, and which karban would we say that way? So there are a number of explanations given by the Mefarshim. One shot that I saw the Mefarshim suggest, it would make the nafka mina would be if it was a karban that the kohenitz was taken before it was baked, the mecha silas, where there it's easier to do the kmitza with the hand, versus a carbon where the kmitza is done after the carbon mincha is baked, where it's much more difficult to do the kmitza by hand. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that the nafka mina would be a carbon mincha that has oil versus a carbon mincha that doesn't have oil. A carbon mincha that has oil, it's more difficult to do kmitza with the hand. A carbon mincha that doesn't have oil, it's easier to do with the hand. Teaches us the Gemara that the kmitza is always done with the hand. It makes no difference which type of karban mincha we discuss. Having said that, it's interesting to note, and I believe we've discussed this issue previously, there is a karban mincha which is known as the mincha shemen, a karban mincha which comes completely just with oil. What is done under those circumstances? How is the kmitza taken from such a karban mincha? So I saw two explanations in the Rishonim. One pshat that I saw is that they let the shemen congeal, they let it harden, and then it's obviously easy to take, then you're able to do kmitza with the hand, even though it's just oil. Or, indeed, the halacha will be that the karban mincha that is made pure up of purely oil, the kmitza will not be done with the hand. The halacha is that type of a karban mincha, you're allowed to do kmitza with a keli. Continues the Mishnah. We spoke about in the previous year, the Mishnah mentioned that there are certain karban minchas that require tenufa. Says the Mishnah, Eila tunas tenufa vein tunas hagasha. The following types of karban mincha require tenufa and no hagasha. The loich shemen shamatzayr vashama. When the Mitzayr brings a Karban Asham and his loy, the halacha is that he has to have tenufa. And as the Mefarshim point out, and we've learned previously, the halacha is that a Mitzayr, even though he brings a Karban Asham and he brings the loy shemen, the halacha is he doesn't necessarily have to bring it at the same time. And the halacha, therefore, explained in Mefarshim will be, if he doesn't bring it at the same time, he still will do tenufa on each one separately. But Bikurim, when Bikurim are brought to Divrei Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, as we're going to learn the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov in the Gemara, that he says that Bikurim have an obligation to have tenufa. Ve'murei Shalma Yochit, the Emurim of the Shalma Yochit, the Chazik and Shoik Shalhem, and the Chazik and Shoik of these Kabbanis, of Shalma Yochid require tenufa. Echad Anoshim v'Echad Noshim. It makes no difference who's bringing the Karav Mincha, men or women. The Gemara Mitzvashem and Amud Beis will analyze this statement of the Mishnah of Yisra V'loi B'cheirim. Continue the Mishnah. The Shtei HaLechem and the Shnei Kifsei Atzeres. Also, all require Tanufa. Ketzer Oysa. Exactly how were the Tanufa done? Noisen Shtei HaLechem Agab Shnei Kvosem. On Shavuos, we know we brought the Shtei HaLechem with two Kifsei Atzeres. He puts the Shtei HaLechem on top of the two Kvosim. Umeneach Shtei Yodav L'mata. And then he puts his two hands under them. Moilach Umevi. Malu Umeiru. And he does Tanufa by Moilach up and down. And all sides. And as the Mepharshim explained, what's done is that there's a Tanufa done to all four directions. North, south, east, and west. And up and down. Rashi explains that the reason we know that that's the way Tanufa is done, Rashi explains, because the pasuk says, "V'heinav hakoyin oisam alechem akipurim Tanufa," and the Torah by Melum says the words "Ashen hunav v'shahuram," and then the pasuk says that before that, "V'heinav oisam Tanufa." So we have the Torah speaking so many different times about Tanufa. That's how we know that they've gone, that they go, that the Tanufa is done in all six directions. The Meiri has a different explanation. He has a much simpler explanation. He says the definition of Hanofa means going in all directions, and the definition of the word Huram means going up and down. Continues the Mishnah. So again, Meilach Omevi Umalu Umayrut Shinema Shahunaf Ashahuram. Tanufa Haisa B'Mizrach. The Tanufa was done on the east side of the Mizbeach. The Hagasha was done on the west side of the Mizbeach. So the Hagasha being done on the west side of the Mizbeach, we understand, because as the Gemara is going to teach us soon, the Hagasha could only be done on that spot, because the Hagasha has to be done on a spot where there is a Yesoid. On the southwest corner, there is a Yesoid to the Mizbeach. But when the Mishnah says the Tanufa is done on the east side of the Mizbeach, there's actually a Machlokes Rishonim, Rashi and Rambam, how to understand this rule. Rashi explains that what the Gemara means to say is that the Hagosha may be done on the west side. It may be done on the east side. The west side of the Mizbeach is the side that's closer to the Mizbeach. But the Mishnah is teaching us to do Tanufa, you don't have to go all the way to the west side. If you want, you could do it on the east side as well. That's how Rashi explains. The Rambam seems to learn that, no, it has to specifically be done on the west side. And I saw in the Mefarshim two explanations what is the basis of the Rambam's approach. One explanation is because, as we just said, the west side is the side that's closer to the Mizbeach, and therefore closer to the entrance of to the Beis HaMikdash. And we certainly don't want people entering the Beis HaMikdash unless they absolutely must do so. And therefore, the Hagasha was, if you could do the Tanufa further and not going to a place that you're not supposed to, that's where the Tanufa should be done. That's one explanation I saw. Another explanation that I saw is because there's a concept of Eim Avirim Ala Mitzvahs. You're not supposed to leave the opportunity to do a mitzvah. So since the halacha is that you could do Tanufa on the Ma'ariv side, and the Ma'ariv side is obviously closer, you first come to the Ma'ariv side before you come to the Mizrach side, that's why it says the Rambam, Eim Avirim Ala Mitzvahs, and as soon as you come to the Ma'ariv side, and you have the opportunity to do the Tanufa, do so immediately. Tanufa is Kaidamis Lagoshois. Here too, the two Pshatim. Posh Pshat is that if you have the opportunity, if you have to do the carbon, that we're learning has to have both Tanufa and Hagosha, the Tanufa should be done prior to the Hagosha. That's how Rashi learns. The Rambam, it seems, learns that the Mishnah is teaching us another halacha. That let's say you have two carbon minchas. One Karban Mincha requires, you're up to the Tanufa. It's a Karban Mincha that requires Tanufa. And you're up to the Tanufa. And the other Karban Mincha requires Hagosha. Because maybe there is no Tanufa, or that's where they're up to. Tanufa should always be done first. Continues the Mishnah. Mechas Oimer and Mechas Kanaz. The Mechas Oimer and the Mecha of the Saita are the type of Karban Mincha, the Tu'unas Hagosha and Tanufa. That require both Hagosha and Tanufa. Lechem Aponim and Mechas Nesachim. Ein Tunas, Loi Hagosha v'loi Tanufa. Rav Shimon Oimer. So Rav Shimon now comes to summarize. And as the Rishonim point out, there is no machlokes what Rav Shimon is saying. Everybody agrees with Rav Shimon. Shlosh Sheminim. There are three types of karbonis. The three types. And there are three mitzvahs. The three mitzvahs are smicha, tenufa while the animal is alive, and tenufa when the animal is no longer alive. Every one of the karbonis that we're now going to mention has the obligation to do two of the three mitzvahs that we just discussed, the shlishis and the head. But there is never a situation that the three mitzvahs that we just identified, all three should have to be done. And the Mishnah explains itself. These are the karbonis that we're going to discuss. The Zivchei Shalmi Yochid, when an individual brings a karbon shlomim. Zivchei Shalmi Tzibur, the Tzibur bringing shlomim. The Kifse Atzeres of Shavuos. V'oshim Etzayr. Zivchei Shalmi Yochid, when a Yochid brings a karbon shlomim. Tu'una Smicha Mechayim, there's an obligation to do Smicha. Tuna Tanufa Shchutim, Tanufa is done on that karbon after the animal is slaughtered. V'ein by Tanufa Chayim. But there is no tenufa done on those animals when the animal is alive. Zivchei shal mitzibur. The zivchei shal mitzibur tenufa chayim v'shkutim. They require tenufa both while they're still alive and after they're slaughtered. However, ein bem smicha. There is no din of smicha. The asher mitzayra, says the Mishnah, ton smicha. It requires smicha. A tenufa chay. It requires tenufa while it's still alive. So ein bam tenufa shachet, but there is no tenufa done on that carbon after it's slaughtered. The Mishnah began by speaking about the halacha of the tenufa of by the carbon asham. Tanar Bonus, the Gemara explains that obligation. The pasuk says regarding that chiyuv, v'hikrav oisam la'asham v'sloit hashemin v'heinef oisam tenufa melamed shetunim tufa ke'echad. The Torah, by using the word oisam, teaches us that we should do tenufa on the asham and on the lunch, on the carbon and on the loy together. Umenayim shemheinav zeba atzma v'zeba atzma. How do we know that you did tenufa on each one individually? Yotza, you fulfilled the obligation. Tamaloymer v'hikav oisay la'asham v'heinav. So most mefarshim say that we learn it from the word oisai. Oisai teaches us one alone. There are rishonim that suggest that if the halacha will be that only one of them requires tenufa, it would be the loig that would require tenufa. Yochel continues the braisa, yonef yachzav yonef, that tenufa should be done by each one of these items individually and then done with them together. Tamaloymer tenufa, one tenufa is required, v'loy tenufais, not a series of tenufais. So the Braisa continues, the Pasuk says, Lufnei Hashem, where is the tenufa done? The Mizra, on the east side. V'omar, but as the Gemara, we've had the word Lufnei Hashem, and when we have the word Lufnei Hashem, the Braisa says, it means b'maruf. So how do we understand the word Lufnei Hashem? Does it mean Mizrach or does it mean Marif? Amri, so they respond, Hani mili mincha, when we speak about a carbon mincha, dikri chatos, which a carbon mincha is considered in the category of a carbon chatos, as the Pasuk says, Kodesh kadoshim hi kachatos. And we know that the halacha is that chatos to the yisoid, that some of the blood of the carbon chatos should be sprinkled on the yisoid. and the Karen Duran Mizrachis, the southeast corner, Lo Havilo Yisoid, did not have a Yisoid. That's why when the Torah says the word Lifnei Hashem by Mincha, it must mean the west side. However, when we speak about the Shem Tzairah, with the Lloyd Shemin, that there is no din of Yisoid. There's no, it's not called the Chatas. When the Torah says Lifnei Hashem, Karina Bay, it means the Mizrach side. The Mishnah continued in teaching us that Bikurim Kedivir of Lez Ben Yaakov. According to Lez Ben Yaakov, Bikurim require Tanufa. Ask the Gemara, my Rebbe Lez Ben Yaakov, where do we find this opinion of Rebbe Lez Ben Yaakov? Says the Gemara, the Tanya, because the Brisa says, the Lokach HaKoyin, the Torah in describing the avoid of the Bikurim, says that the Koyin should take the Bikurim, Liman al Bikurim, Shetun and Tanufa de Rebbe Lez Ben Yaakov. That's where Rebbe Lez Ben Yaakov says that Bikurim require Tanufa. Ask the Gemara, my Tam of Rebbe Lez Ben Yaakov, what is the basis for Rebbe Lez Ben Yaakov's opinion? Says the Gemara, Gomer Yad Yad Mishlomim. He learns the Gzeir Shavu from Shlomim. Ksiv Hocho, it says regarding the Bikurim, V'lokach HaKoyin HaTanem Yodecho. The Ksiv Hosom, and it says regarding the Shlomim, Yodov Tviyana. As we have just learned, the Kavim Shlomim requires Tanufa. And now we have a Gzeir Shavu between the Shlomim and the Bikurim, that just like Shlomim require Tanufa, so too does Bikurim. Makakoyim. Now, when the Torah speaks about the Bikurim, the Torah speaks about the Koyim. The Torah says, V'lokach HaKoyim. Aflahalam, through this Gzeir Shavu, we understand that so too by the Shlomim, the Koyim has to do Tanufa. Umalahalam, when the Torah speaks about the Tanufa by Karben Shlomim, the Torah speaks about the Balim, because as the Pasuk says, Yovi es Karbon el Hashem, Mizabach Shlomim, Afkan Balim. So from there we see that the Balim, the owner of the carbon, participate in the Tanufa. Ha-ketza. So here we see one Pasuk seems to teach us that the owner does the Tanufa. The other Pasuk seems to teach us that the Kohen does the Tanufa. How do we reconcile this? Ha-ketza. Kohen miniach yodah tachsi ha-balim. The Kohen places his hands under the hands of the owner, or menef, and that's how he does Tanufa. Of course, the Miches Chinuch points out that this halacha is only applicable when we're talking about a kohen, when we're talking about the owner being a Yisrael and the kohen doing his avoda. But certainly, says the Meches Chinuch, if a kohen himself is bringing a carbon mincha, then the halacha will be that you don't have to have two people participate. One person himself, the kohen himself, will carry both hats, both avoiders. Here, there's a very serious discussion amongst the Rishonim. The Rishonim discuss that why can there be Tanufa done with the Kohen putting his hands under the hands of the Balim? Why would that not be an issue of Chatzitza? That the owner's hands are a Chatzitza between the carbon and the Kohen's hands. So there are a number of answers given in the Rishonim to this question. Some Rishonim suggest that if the Torah explicitly tells us that that's the way Tanufa is done, as this Gemara is indicating, so then it's not considered Chatzitza, because that's the way the Torah wants it to be done. There's of course a discussion amongst the Poskim, that why would there even be a consideration that it should be a Chatzitza? Don't we have a rule the min ben minoi, two things of the same type, and a chaitzitz, are not considered a chatzitza? So why isn't the kohen's hands and the owner's hands min ben minoi, the both hands? To which the Paiskim answer, when we say min ben minoi and a chaitzitz, it's only within one body. But one person to another person, even though we're talking about hands, certainly would be a chatzitza. This is very relevant lahalocha. It's relevant lahalocha because let's say somebody's not wearing a yarmulke. And certainly if somebody's not wearing a yarmulke, he's not allowed to say a dovish of a gedusha. So the halacha is that he can't use his own hand to cover his head, because his own hand is a chatz, is min b'minoy, and would not be considered a covering. But let's say someone else puts his hand on your head, even though it's all parts of a body, but it's two different people, and since it's two different people, there would be no concern of min b'min. There would be no concern of min b'minoy ein chaitzitz, and it would be considered a valid head covering. So again, the first answer that we've given is that's what the Torah says is the way the tanufa should be done, and the Torah therefore tells us that here we need not be concerned about chatzitza. Another explanation given is that Rashi seems to follow this approach, that really the main person that has to do tanufa is actually the owner of the kayin, of the carbon. And the owner of the carbon, as we just described, does put his hand directly under the carbon mincha. So even though the kayin doesn't, if the main participant in tanufa is the owner, and he's putting his hands under the carbon. Tosfos, however, because of this question, has an entirely different understanding on how tanufa is done. And Tosfos explains that the way tanufa was done was that the owner can put his hand directly under the carbon, with the kayin putting his hands under the hands of the kayin. But rather, he says, what happened was the kayin puts his hands under the carbon, and the owner puts his hands on the side, that perhaps were handles sticking out, and that's where the owner puts his hands in order to avoid the problem of chatzitza. Ask the Gemara. So now we've identified that the opinion that holds that Bikurim requires Tanufa is the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Ask the Gemara, V'lei Menami, why don't we also say that it's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? The Tanya, because there's a Braisa that says, Rabbi Yehuda Oiner, V'hinachtoi, the Torah says regarding the Bikurim, V'hinachtoi, V'zu Tanufa. From here we see that the Bikurim requires Tanufa. Ata Oimer, continues the Braisa, V'zu Tanufa. Does the Braisa mean that the Bikurim requires Tanufa? Maybe what it means is that the Bikurim require Hanocha, that the Bikurim require being put down in front of the Mizbeach. K'shu Oimer, when the Pasuk says, V'hinichoi, Harei Hanocha Omer. So we know that they have that obligation. Mahamani Mikhaim says Rabbi Yehuda, what do I learn from the word Vihinachtoi? Zutanufa. So we see Rabbi Yehuda himself also agrees that Tanufa is required by the Karban Mincha. So why, by the Bikurim, why are we saying it's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? So the Shita asks, if we're going to follow Rabbi Yehuda's approach, the word Vihinachtoi that he's learning from is at the end of the Parsha. So if so, the halacha of tanufa should be done only at the end. Whereas we know that the halacha is that tanufa is done much earlier in the process of bringing the bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. So there are two answers. One answer that I saw the Rishonim suggest, as we know, there's a halacha in mugdam v'mucha b'tayrah. We don't follow exactly what something is said. A difficult answer, because we've already explained in our shiurim, that even though there's a halacha in mukdam u'mucha b'tayra, within one parsha, we do say that mukdam u'mucha, that there is a specific order. So another tarot that I saw is that what Yehuda means to say is that since the word v'hinachton, which is said at the end of the parsha, as we just explained, is superfluous, because it already says v'hinichoy earlier in the parsha, what the Gemara means to say is that the word v'hinachtoi that's mentioned at the end of the parasha is coming to teach us that the word v'hinichoi that's mentioned earlier means tanufa. So now we learn tanufa, even according to Yehuda, taking place earlier, not specifically later. So back to the Gemara's question. So we see it's also the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that tanufa is required, that tanufa is required by Bikurim. Why is this opinion attributed to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hoy l'pasuk b'kas of tchila. Since he learns it from an earlier part of the pasuk, so that's why his opinion is stated first. But it's not, of course, only his opinion. It's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, it's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda as well. Another teretz, Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak Amar, Hoyl v'Rav Guvrei. As we find in many places in Shas, we know that Mishnas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Kav V'Noki. Kav V'Noki means he doesn't say it. We don't find his opinion cited that many times, but every time it's cited, Kav V'Noki, it's correct. Therefore, if we have this, the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, we're going to quote his opinion. The Mishnah continued teaching us, Emurah Shalom Yochid, the Chos V'Shoit Shalhem, Echad Anoshim, V'Echad Anoshim, B'Yisrael Avloi B'Acherim. So the Gemara asks, my comment. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara's question is as follows. Echad Anoshim, V'Echad Anoshim, the Mishnah is teaching us that no matter who brings a Korban Mincha, men or women, they're obligated to bring to do Tanufa. But then the Mishnah says, "Bisrael abloy b'achirim," which seems to exclude women from the obligation of tenufa. So, as the Mefarshim all point out, the Gemara could have easily have answered that "Bisrael abloy b'achirim" doesn't come to exclude women. "Bisrael abloy b'achirim" come to exclude akum. The women are included. But as the Sfasema says, the Gemara was well aware of the brice that we're about to learn. That clearly indicates that women are excluded as well, and therefore the Gemara is trying to understand how do we reconcile what the Mishnah says. To which the Gemara explains, both men and women, their kabbonis require tenufa. But tenufa atzmoi be Yisrael. The tenufa is done when a man is bringing a carbon. As we learned a moment ago, he participates in the tenufa. Avloy b'dei noshim, when women bring a karban mincha, they don't themselves participate in the tenufa. And the Gemara brings a braisa. Tan rabbanan, b'nei yisro menifim, v'nei v'kachav menifim. B'nei yisro menifim, v'nei noshim menifas. Women don't do tenufa. Amar Rav Yosi. Metzinu, shecholak hakosef, the Torah differentiates, they carbon Yisrael, le carbon nashim smicha. The Torah differentiates between the carbon of men versus the carbon of akum or women regarding the halacha of smicha, where men kabbonis require smicha, the carbon of akum doesn't require smicha. Why? The carbon of akum, the Mefarshim explained, doesn't require smicha because the smicha is when the vidui is said for the kapara, and akum don't have a kapara through their kabbonis. The reason the Mefarshim suggests that women kabbonis are excluded from smicha, because the place where smicha is done is a spot where they don't want women to stand. Yochel nachalik b'tenufa. So we should also make a difference between the tenufa of men and women and akum. Loi. Mali chalik b'smicha. When we speak about certain kabbonis having smicha and certain kabbonis not having smicha, shasmicha b'balim, the smicha is done through the owners themselves. As we just explained, a carbon brought by noshim or a carbon brought by akum can't have smicha. Nachl b'tenufa, but we don't even have a reason to make such a differentiation by tenufa, shetenufa b'kahanim. Since the tenufa can be done by the kahanim, therefore, even the carbon of noshim or akum, there the tenufa should be done by the kohen. Im kam tamaloimer b'nei Yisrael menifim, b'nei v'kachav menifim, b'nei Yisrael menifim, b'nei hanoshim menifim. So we've learned the Gemara like Rashi, that the Gemara is teaching us that all kabbonis, mincha, which are brought require tenufa, but unlike the carbon that are brought by men, where the men themselves participate in the tenufa, in the carbon brought by akum, or the carbon brought by noshim, the kahanim are the shlichim on behalf of them to do the tenufa. Which, of course, is a question. How could somebody appoint a shliach when he himself can't do it himself? So the answer is that since, there are a number of answers. One answer is that when the Gemara says that the kohanim are shlichim, it doesn't mean that the shlichim of these specific individuals. Because as we just said, you can't be a shliach of a person who can't do it himself. Moreover, we know that Zalocha ain't shlichus la'akum. What the Gemara here means by shlichus, the Gemara means is that the shlichim of the Rachmana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed them as his shlichim to do the tenufa. Another pshat, however, that the Mepharshim suggests is as follows. As we learned earlier, the Kohen participates in the tenufa. There's only a question, the Kohen always does tenufa. The question is, does the owner do tenufa as well? So since the Kohen is obligated to do tenufa, the halacha is that when a Kohen does the tenufa, when do we say that a person can't be a shliach? A person can't be a shliach in a situation where he has no connection to this avodah. But since the Kohen has an obligation to do this avodah, as we've been explaining, the Kohen certainly does tenufa. The only question is, when does the owner have to do tenufa? Therefore, since he is a participant, he could be a shliach even for a person who normally, even for a person that normally cannot appoint him as a shliach. There's an interesting retvaz. That retvaz says that when a woman brings a carbon, if she's a married woman, then the halacha is that a husband does the tenufa on her behalf, because since there's a rule, ishtoi kegufoi, so she, the husband doing the tenufa, is considered like she's doing the tenufa. And since the way we're learning the Gemara, there is an obligation for the woman to do the tenufa. The kohen is just her shliach, certainly her husband, who we could say ishtoi kegufa, to do the tenufa on her behalf. Tani idach, continues the Gemara, the Braisa says, B'nei Yisrael, and the B'nei Yisrael, we would only know that born Jews have a chi of tenufa. Geirim v'avodim shechorim menayim, that they too have an obligation to do tenufa. Tamaloyim ha-makrif, anybody who brings a carbon. Oyena elo, ask the Braisa on itself, perhaps what the pasuk means is zek koyin ha-makrif, that only the koyin does tenufa, and the owner doesn't participate at all in the tenufa. Shu'oyim yadav tuliyena, the pasuk says yadav harei balam omer. So from here we see that the owner does do the tenufa. Harei haketzat, how is it done? As we said before, so it must be that when the Torah says ha-makrif, it's coming to teach us that not only born Jews do tenufa, but even geirim v'avodim v'shechrorim. Haketzat, how is the tenufa done? Kohen meniach yodoi tach sidei ha-balim, and the Kohen puts his hands under the hands of the balim.